Evening. Ephesians chapter 4. Father, we thank you for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a specific thing that we're trying to accomplish as the church and as people. There's a specific thing that we're trying to reach. There's a specific level. You can't accidentally get there. You can't stumble upon it. It's not hidden from us. It's not somewhere that we don't know where we're going. It's a clear and precise destination of what we're trying to, or what we endeavor to grow up to be. There's a reason that we're doing this right now with these classes. Y'all got two more classes after this. And we come back week after week. We got class again tomorrow. Then we go to church on Sunday, right? Then we go to Bible study midweek, right? Then we do it again next week, don't we? And the week after that, we do it again. We do it over and over again. And we pray during the day, don't we? We pray during the week. We pray and we read. We do different things. There's a specific goal that we're trying to reach. But I'm prone to believe that if you don't know where you're going, then you're going to be driving in the wrong direction. If you don't know where you're going or what you're trying to get to or what you're endeavoring to grow up into, then you'll never make it to your destination. They say the first rule of following the map is what? Find out where you are, right? But what's the second step? What's the second step? Find out where you're going. It's simple. Come on. Ain't nothing deep about it. I don't know. We ask the Holy Ghost his way. No. You find out where you're going. Find out where you are. Next step, find out where you're going. Then you get on the road and start driving, all right? But if you don't find out, even if you find out where you are, if you don't find out where you're going, what your destination is, then you miss the point. And I touched on a little bit last week because we said, what are the things? Start off with thoughts. You ready to go? Let's start again. Let's go. Come on. Go. Ready. Some of y'all waiting. Some are like, habits. Come on, go again. Ready to go. Do it again. Do it again. Still ain't, some people still ain't saying it right. Let's go. Come on. One more time, come on. Come on, do it again. Come on. Again. Again. We got four more times. Again. Three more times, go.
Thoughts, feelings, actions, habits, character, destiny.
Two.
Thoughts, feelings, actions, habits, character, destiny.
One.
Thoughts, feelings, actions, habits, character, destiny.
That's how I learned how to sing. That's how to learn my part. Let's do it 20 times, sing the part. You got to sing it and breathe. And you're tired and you're lightheaded, but you got to sing it. Then we used to lay on the floor on our back. And you can't pick your head up. I don't know if you know anything about singing. You feel like it's a little easier when you do like that. You can't pick your head up. Keep it like this. I'll teach you how to sing right. Lay on the floor and do it 20 times. Sing that one little stanza. And you finish 20, breathe a little bit, and you go 20 again. Tired. What are we doing? I know this already. I already got this one down. Until it's time to put the parts together, then you don't know where your part at. Get back on the floor then. You cannot be consistency. I said that before, I'll say it again. You cannot be consistent. We have to remember that. Just remember that. Say them again.
Thoughts, feelings, actions, habits, character,
So my thoughts ultimately lead to my destiny. My thoughts, my feelings, my actions, my habits, my character, my destiny. My thoughts automatically lead to my destiny. Now, we even went a little deeper last week talking about committing our works to the Lord and your thoughts be established. Proverbs 16, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts be established. I found an apostle in that. Years ago, he committed his works to the Lord. He didn't commit his work to what he wanted. He didn't commit his work to what he thought good church was. He didn't commit his work to what he thought being a good preacher was. You hear the story, he wasn't even looking to be no preacher. That wasn't his career day choice. He didn't call God and say, God, can I be a preacher? No, God called him. So he, years ago, before we even talked about preaching, he just knew that God saved him. Listen to me. It began with him knowing, listen, God saved me. He loved me enough to save somebody like me. Right? Anybody got that same testimony? God loves me to save somebody like me. So the fact that he saved me, I don't want to go back the other way. So because I don't want to go that way, I commit myself to the Lord. I commit my works, all my works, all my being, I commit it to the Lord. And so now the thoughts become established. What's now your destination? Now we're back to the map. First rule to find out where you are, right? Right? First rule to find out where you are, right?
Yes, sir.
And the next thing is find out where I'm going. If I know where I am, but I don't find out where I'm going, then most likely if I get on the road, I'm lost. Huh?
Right.
We get the scripture that seek and save that which is lost, huh? Yeah, we thought that was sinners and people out there that wasn't at your church, huh? No, you might be in service lost. They got more lost Christians than they got sinners. It's the worst thing in the world to think you know where you're going and you don't. You more lost than anybody. There's a destination we're going to. There's a specific thing that we're trying to get to. There's a specific reason that we pray every day. I don't know why you think you pray. You might think you pray because you're trying to do your duty for God. You might think you pray because you're trying to be a little deeper. You might think you pray for all these other different reasons, that the reasons for prayer and all these different things. I'm going to show you why you pray. I'm going to show you why you read the word. I'm going to show you why you meditate. I'm going to show you why we soak right now. I'm going to show you why we take so much time to study. I'm going to show you why we got to say thoughts, feelings, actions, habits, character, destination over and over and over again. And why we got to quote these scriptures over and over and over. Y'all remember y'all, didn't y'all have a memory scripture last week? Huh?
Yes.
Everybody, yeah, we're going to see in a minute. Woo, yeah, you better get ready for it. And I just always have to do a little reading. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and where? Yeah. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I like that statement. Wherefore he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all. That he might fill how many things? That's a good statement. Like he went. If we slow down and read, he did it so they can feel all things. Mm. Verse 11, you read, you ready to read?
Some prophets.
For the perfecting of the saints, wow. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of. Till we all, how many of us?
All.
Come to the unity of the faith. Unity of the faith. Everybody say unity of the faith.
Yeah.
That means it's one faith, right? We just said it, one law, one faith, one baptism, one faith, right? So we come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of. Y'all read verse 3. Let me read this last line. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. Verse 13, just read up to the comma. Ready, go. Stop and think about what you're talking about. You're talking about the unity of faith. And I'm going to show you how to meditate a little bit to see where you're going. Look at that again. Till until. So all that stuff is until. We keep doing that until what? We all, how many of us?
All
come into the unity of the faith. Next line. Up to the comma, come on. So now until we all come into the knowledge of the Son of God. Who is that? Huh? Until we all come, we're going to do all that's got to go on until we all come to the knowledge of the Son of God. What's the next part, the last part of the scripture? Until a perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness. Until a perfect man, perfect has what? Maturity, right? Yes. Deal with your purpose, right? Yes. Until we do all that, until we all become mature. And it explains us what mature, like what a perfect man is. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That sounds deep, don't it? That means just measure up to Christ. When you do the measurements, it looks the same as Christ.
My God.
So we're going to do all that until we measure up to Christ. Now remember the knowledge of the Son of God, right? It said it in there, right? So you all come to knowledge, right? Remember that knowledge, I talked about it last week. Not being informed, but knowing. Y'all remember that? I'm going to read an Amplified version of you tonight of a scripture, that one of our favorite scriptures. And I went over it last night, me and some friends were talking, and the thing was powerful. Remember knowing and informed. Most of the time, we in church are informed, but we don't know.
Right.
All right, we got a lot of information, but we don't have knowledge. Knowing, I got to do it again just for sake of time. Knowing in the Bible, there's two definitions of knowing. Knowing is sexual intimacy. Huh? Joseph ain't no Mary until after Jesus came, right? But in knowing also, you think is informed, but it really still means intimacy. It means the same thing. That I may know him, you should know the truth. It's being intimate with the truth. Being intimate with Christ and the power of resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being intimate with that. Get it? So now I'm come to an intimacy knowledge. Now see knowledge, right? I do it till we all come into the unity of faith and the intimacy of the Son of God. Like I'm intimate with Jesus. Like I'm right there with him. Verse 14, that we henceforth, and for the sake of time and teaching, when you go back, like if you go back and listen to this class, or you go back and look at your notes, it'll take you a whole lot longer to digest this than it did to teach it. Every message, it never fails. Every message, it always takes a whole lot longer to digest it than it does to eat it. You're full. They used to tell you, your food don't digest and get ready to go. Well, you don't go to the bathroom until later on, do you? And excuse my crudeness, but you don't, do you? Because your body is taking a while to digest and start separating that thing and break it up and find out what you need to keep and what you need to get rid of. It takes some time. So when you read this verse 13, you got to go back. You think you know it. The best way I can say this, don't give your soul too much credit. Don't ever trust your mind to think that you know something already. Paul said, not as though I've already attained. You remember when he said that? He said, I don't act like I already got it, but I keep pressing. I keep pushing forward. And sometimes you read these scriptures, we done read this. How many times we done read this? How many times you done read this in your life? You probably can't even count how many times you done read these scriptures. If you slow down, you start seeing what you're doing, though. Verse 13, you go read. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Verse 15, you read. Ready, read. But speaking the truth, how?
In love
may grow up. Everybody say grow up.
Grow up.
Come on, say it again. Grow up.
Grow up.
How?
You know.
No. You skipped me. In all things. All right, I'm glad you did that. I'm glad you did that, all right? I'm glad you skipped into him. I'm glad you skipped it. And maybe the Lord trying to prove a point right quick. Because we all trying to grow up, but we're not growing up into him, so we're really not grown. We're trying to grow up in everything. We're trying to get more money. We're trying to get a better family. We're trying to raise our kids right. Right? We're trying to get a better place to live. And nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with none of that. But you can't skip into him. So if you try to skip the end of him, you miss your connection. In him is everything that you, I don't know when we're going to catch the grip, like when we're going to catch the resounding theme of what God is teaching us in the Bible. I found out that, and it's not really a new thing, but I found out that we are largely too carnal. We are largely too caught up with this system. We know more about the system than we know about the system. We know more about how to operate down here than we know how to operate from there to here. Tell the truth, you, me, all of us, because we're so caught up with things. We're caught up with things, and we just watch things, we see things, we hear things, we talk about things, we go to places, and we do different things, and we think that it's okay because we're breathing. And so we skip grow up. We skip grow up into him. We want to grow up in all things. You can go to church and want to grow up in all things. You know more about faith now. And you know more about praying in the Holy Ghost. You got some notes and you read some books about the gifts of the Spirit. And you done went to ministry school and you done graduated in May. Y'all graduated in May, right? You done graduated. Now you done finished school and you done first year, second year, you done some different things and you don't know who you came here for. My God. It happens. Because it's a simple thing. Just not. I mean, grow up in all things. No, grow up in him. Look at it. I'm not misquoting the scripture. Grow up into him in how many things? All things. Which is the head, even Christ. Grow up into him. Grow up into him. Look at your neighbor and tell him, grow up into him. Look. Grow up, grow up, grow up. Grow up into him. Your destination. Your destination. First we'll follow the map and find out where. Next thing is find out. If you don't know where you're going, you can't get there. If you don't know that everything you're doing in this word, every meditation, every soak, every prayer, every service that you go to, everything you do is growing you up into him, you will never get there. What do we think we are doing? What do we think that the apostolic is about? Well, who established the apostolic? Who is it based on? But if we don't know this, if we can low here, low there, no. You got to know where you're going. Thoughts, feelings, actions, habits, character, destination. If Jesus is our destination, then my thoughts got to start with him. Let this mind, Philippians 2:5, write it down. My thoughts got to begin with him. And even if I jump before the thoughts, I commit thy works to the Lord. Oh, a lot of times we're trying to find this formula to this formula for success. You know, everybody like, what's the keys to success? You know, and we're looking for this formula, and there is no formula. There's a starting place. There is no, God don't do all this mixing and all this in the potion. There ain't no magic trick. He starts at a place, and he grows it from a seed. And if you would only, I'm telling y'all something that'll make life easy for you. You want life to be easy?
Yes, sir.
Do you really want to be successful in life? Yes. Not by your standards, by Jesus' standards. Can we not that blow all whatever you thought was out the water? Everything you thought was the thing, then we say, Jesus. Right? Verse 14, routine. 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ is talking about whom the whole body fit the joint again in compact with every joint supply, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We don't have time to go to the next part. We may come back and touch on it, but start talking about don't be like the Gentiles, be in the vanity of your mind, in the vanity of your mind, vain. Most of Christianity, most of the church is vain. We still, Philippians 3. And this is good. Philippians 3. And I got some other scriptures to go to, but uh, It is very easy. I was soaking this morning. If you don't know what soaking is, and you ain't been paying attention to Apostle at all. You don't know what we're talking about soaking, and you ain't heard a thing in the last 2.5 weeks from Apostle, and so you losing right now. All right, so if I say soak, I'm not going to explain it right now. But if you don't know what it is, I see how tight your connection is. So I'm soaking this morning, right? And, what's been my story? Any of y'all been soaking? Anybody been soaking? Anybody been soaking since you heard? I was talking about what's been my story. And if you haven't been soaking, I don't know why you hadn't been soaking after you heard about soaking. What you doing? What have you been doing? All right, it's another conversation. So my process, I start off on a scripture. You know, you get a scripture, and you say, well, but my heart and my, like when I'm soaking, it all starts leading back to Jesus. I pick a scripture in Isaiah about the light, and the light heals the wounds of the soul. And so I'm sitting there, and you gotta tame your mind a little bit, possess your soul. Because you start thinking about what's coming up next, what's going on at 2:00. Come on. What's coming on later on, and who calling right now? You gotta put your phone away, because there's a bunch of stuff. But it's like your phone will start ringing more and more when you say, okay, I just thought it was me. All right, so I'm focusing. I'm like, well, and in my mind, I don't want mine to run off on other scriptures like it's smart. I need you to focus. Right? But that thing kept on, I was looking at the light, and the light hit the soul, and the light hit the wound of the soul. That thing kept on taking me to, and this light was the light of men, and the darkness comprehended night. I said, okay, I can go with that. Then it just took me right to Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you. And it kept on taking me to Jesus as the light, and back to Jesus. And it says, search scripture, and you think you have life, but they testify of me, but you won't come unto me. And it always take me back to Jesus. It always take me back to, I'm looking at Jesus in the face. This morning, I'm looking at him on the cross. Faith, I'm up in the air. Look at him on the cross, almost like leaning on him. I'm looking at him in the face, and I'm looking at him. And I see the nail. Bow! Right? And took over, and I said, talking about it. So I see that, and I see the side, and I said, I'm looking at it. Like I'm soaking. Like I'm looking at it. And I see him up there, and I said, what is it that drives a man to do something like this? What's going on to drive a man to do something like this? To actually allow yourself, not only just a man, we're not talking about, you know, you or I, where, you know, a whole army came and got it. We're talking about somebody that didn't have to get taken. Right. Meekness is nothing but harness power. When you talk about being meek, that's harness power. I mean, I can tear this whole thing down, but I'm going to chill for the sake of the cause. And I'm looking at it, I'm saying, what causes a man to do this? Like, why would you do this? And all I started thinking about was the love of God. And that Jesus really wasn't about himself. I even found out when he said the enemy coming, but he ain't got nothing in me. He said, I ain't got no self in me. I ain't got none of my self will or what I want. You remember when the devil tempted Jesus? You remember that? You remember when the devil tempted Jesus? He tempted Jesus with all the stuff that you want. Come on, all the stuff we're working for, we're going to work for it. We're trying to retire for it. Come on, think about it. Go look at all the stuff he did. Turn the rock into bread. Right? Because you're hungry. And he was hungry because he had been out there fasting. Do y'all see it? Sometimes you got to break down and pay attention to what's really going on. Don't skim over these scriptures. Use your imagination. Then take him a high mountain and say, you Lord, cast yourself down. Well, we'd have been flying. One of us, huh? I'm going to show you who I really am. Mm-hmm. I'm going to prove it to you that I'm somebody in the name of Jesus. Yeah. You don't know who I am? 90%, 95% of us was going to jump. I'm going to show you. And we're going to think it's a miracle. I'm about to work a wonder in front of the demon right now. Missed the whole point. Then take him over and give you all these kingdoms, all this stuff. You bow down and worship. You get it? He ain't had nothing in him though. He ain't had no self ambition in there. we got some work to do. Yes, can I get an amen? We got some work to do. Nothing in me. So what I'm looking, so I'm looking at him on the cross. I'm up, so I don't know how I got up there. I'm just up on the cross. I feel like I'm hanging on him. And I'm looking at him like, wow, what would you do? He wasn't talking, he didn't answer me, I just saw him going through what he was going through. And who calls him, and it's really that he was ultimately about you and I and about others. I was reading the scripture last night, and it's our faith, one of our faith, Philippians 3:10, right? Y'all there? I said, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Then it says, that I may know him, and we're talking about know, not be informed of him, and it's informed of Jesus, all right? You ready? No, we need to know him. What you think you're praying about every day? What you think you're reading about every day? What you think you're going to church for? What you think you're in your class for right now? What you think the ultimate goal, that I may know him? And what's the next thing? Know what else?
Power.
Doing what's power. Next one. I'll read the last part. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Let's go to verse 7. Verse 7, go back to verse 7. And this is a great chapter. And he's talking, he said, but what things were the gain to me, those I counted for loss for Christ? Let me go back to verse 1. Finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to me indeed is not grievous for you. It is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And have no confidence where? None. Need to underline no confidence in the flesh. And then I want you, next time you go read, to consider how much confidence you got in the flesh. Because you got some. We got some. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul's saying what I'm saying right now, what we just said. Yeah, but I got confidence. Don't have no confidence for you, but I got confidence. And if you say you got confidence, I probably got more confidence in the flesh than you do. You hear Paul talking? Do y'all understand what he's saying? It's Paul talking. Now, you understand what he's saying? Paul says, yeah. Don't have no confidence in the flesh. I'm writing this letter to tell you don't have no confidence in the flesh. But here I am telling you now, if you got confidence in the flesh, I probably got more. That's real raw, huh? We don't preach. Preachers don't preach like that. Tell the truth, y'all been around the preach, don't preach like that. I probably trust in the flesh more than y'all. He said, verse 5, he started tallying off his resume. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Verse 7, but what things were the gain to me? Those I counted loss for what? Christ. So I didn't just count them loss. I count them loss for something. Christ. $8 and I count all things. How many things?
All.
How many things?
All.
I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge, knowing the intimacy, the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but y'all know what dung is, right?
Yeah.
That I may. What?
Win Christ.
Mm. Is it possible you lose Christ? If you can win him, you can lose him. And be found in him, not having mine own, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. That the righteousness which is of God by faith. Then verse 10, you read.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being made conformable.
I count all that. I count all this stuff that I done worked up on already. I count it loss. Just so I can get the excellency of Christ. I was reading Luke 21 today, and Luke 21, 15 said, I give your mouth the wisdom. But verse 14 said, he said, don't, I was really looking up the word meditate. He said, don't meditate what you're going to say before they ask you.
Right.
He said, but I'm going to put my words in you. I'm going to give you a mouth and wisdom. In other words, it ain't about what you think you know. The only reason that you praying and you reading and you studying and you soaking is to line your soul up so that you can be in connection with the mind of Christ.
Yeah,
so that as I hear, I judge. I only do what my Father tells me to do.
Amen.
We're far off from that. We're a good ways off. We kind of do what our Father tells us to do. Sometimes we hit it by accident. But there's a way to be consistent with it. Thank God for apostles. Thank God. Thank God for somebody leading us. Follow me as I follow Christ. Thank God for somebody showing me that it's stronger than where I'm at right now. It's the only reason. I call all that stuff you think you know. All the stuff you think that you done amassed over the years. All it is lining you up. You don't know what God gonna want you to do tomorrow. You can't even tell me who you're gonna come across tomorrow to have to minister to them. All you can do is be in position. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Church. Everybody say church.
Church.
If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I've already attained, either way already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend, which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. How? And verse 15 says what? Be thus minded. Talking about your mind again. A lot of times we talk about forgetting those things. We won't forget the bad stuff. We just forget all that to keep pushing forward. Verse 10, and I don't read it. I don't have time to really go any further. We'll pick up a little bit more. In the Amplified Bible, it says, watch this. Y'all ready? I couldn't hear you. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
It says, for my determined purpose is... You take your time to read this in the Amplified. Anybody got access to the Amplified Bible? I'm looking for, go ahead and look at it. For my determined purpose, not just my purpose, but my determined purpose, that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which exerts itself over believers. And that I may also, and this is the part I'm going to touch on before we leave. I think this is where we lose it. That I may also share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death in the hope. And that I may share in his sufferings. Now, I'm going to teach you something about being a minister. Now, if you can't get what I'm about to say next about being a minister, maybe you're not a minister. Maybe you need to just go and sit down somewhere. Maybe you need to keep chasing after your dreams. So when I hear a message, I'm going to teach you something. You ready? That I may know him. Hallelujah. In the power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. In fellowship of his suffering. Hallelujah. If I don't get to screaming about the fellowship of his suffering. But it's talking about knowing that too. But I don't want everything to be peach and cream. I win. Well, you do win. There's a certain way to win. There's a certain way Jesus won. Jesus kept himself a winner by being a certain way all the time. So when I hear a message, and I hear, it doesn't matter, you pick a subject, whatever the message is on. When I hear the message, and I know that the message is running through me, but I always hear, most people hear soaking, like we're talking about soaking, right? To get the wounds, right? So they hear soaking to get free of my wounds. And so they got the soaking right there. But see, I don't hear that. I hear soaking to get free of my wounds to help somebody else get free of theirs. Mm-hmm. It's another step. See, Jesus always took that positive resurrection, but the fellowship of his suffering. See, the fellowship of Jesus' suffering was that he took upon the wounds of others. Ministry. The fellowship of his suffering was that he took upon with other people to help free. Could you do it? You might need to turn it in. Might need to turn it in. Ain't about the suits and anything. Might need to turn it in. And this is how Jesus was as effective as he was. Because he didn't come here for him. He didn't come to class for his accreditation. He didn't come here to try to make himself like a scholar. Power of resurrection, fellowship of the suffering. If it stopped with you, you're in the wrong place. I hear soaking. Clear my wounds out. Clear my wounds, and I got them. You got them, don't you? I got them. I get them. Clear my wounds out. But I clear my wounds out so I can help somebody else clear their wounds out. That's what I'm hearing. So while I'm trying to clean mine out, right? While I'm trying the word, I'm receiving, I'm listening, whatever it is I'm doing, while it's going on, I'm thinking, how does this translate to another? If you ain't going to pass nothing out, I ain't got to give you nothing. What am I going to give you anointing for? You ain't going to pass it out? Or you going to get fat and chunky, and then you going to take it and waste it? It's called stewardship. Amen.